What is your whole deal? Hey, bitch, just tell us how you feel. You wished for a sign from above. Well, here's a podcast about boy sex, fucking, dating, and love. Seek treatment if you're boring as fuck. Seek treatment if you're unlucky in love.
Hey,
it's Catherine.
It's Patrick.
And this is
Seek Treatment, a podcast about boys, sex, fucking, dating, and love.
Fuck yeah, king and queen. Let's be real about what just happened. We are recording the intro after the meat of the episode because my phone call ran late and I was late to the session.
I know. It's always so hard but to do this because it's like, wait, what did we talk about? And I can't talk about something... Because obviously when you're, and this is a little look behind the scenes.
Right.
When you come in to do your intro, you have certain things that maybe I'll talk about. What did you do last night? What did you see last night? Who did you touch last night? And so I had a few things, but a lot of them I end up talking about in the meat of the pod. So now I don't want to I introduce them in the meat. You know what I mean? So I can't talk about them now and then later in the episode I'm going to be introducing them as though it's my first time talking about it. That wouldn't make any sense chronologically.
I totally get that. And what I will say is that, yeah, I did mention I had a great show last night, but I've been I don't know. I got really moody yesterday. It's so funny. I'm still in a place where one mean comment on social media...
Yeah.
And really fucked me up. And you guys were actually there to watch how it unfolded.
Yeah. But I was proud of you. You did get past it and
Yeah.
I mean, that's just going to be the shit. You know what I mean? That's just going to be that's the world we live in today, you know?
I know. People always tell you, it is different. It is different the world we live in, but people also, they're like, well, if you want to be a public figure, you're going to be criticized. And I was always what could they say about me? I'm freaking perfect and I'm a queen. And now, people will really go out of their way to be obscenely cruel about the most bizarre things.
Yeah, people will be it is part of human nature that you do want to make other people feel bad sometimes. We all see it in ourselves, we see it in those around us. It's something you have to accept about human nature. You don't have to give it any credence, but
I know I need to wrap my head around it, but it's just something I would never totally do. And I told you I love gossip, I love being a bitch, I'm obviously, but never to someone's never to someone's face, honey.
Yeah.
Wait, so bizarre.
I know.
But the day I did recover, but then I think after the show I kind of I had the adrenaline of it, and then I came back down and was kind of, it's just really true that no amount of good praise helps get rid of that, but it's something I'm working on. I need a thicker skin, so I'll keep growing.
I topped last night.
Oh my god, wait, never saw that coming.
I know, many didn't. It's because Angelo, after the bed, we went to the gym, and he was lying down in the bed with kind of Donald Duck style. He had a tank top on, but no pants. But his butt is so bubble that sometimes it does beg for a dick inside of it. Do you know what I mean?
And totally.
It was being that way towards me, so. So then I was going to, but also, so then he was should I clean it out? And I was yeah, why don't you give it a. It was the kind of thing, too, where it wasn't. Our seamless had been ordered, so it was kind of
that's when tough.
So it's thinking of when does it say the food's getting here? And then I also it's NCAA championships this week, so I was I have this race I want to watch
out
this
of office.
But we end up doing it. But I did, when I'm topping, generally it's I don't know that it's very fun for anyone besides myself, and so I don't know that I hump in any way that anyone gets anything out of. So usually my strategy, and also because Angelo doesn't bottom very often, I'm paranoid that he's gonna be it's painful for him or something. So my strategy kind of is get in and out, you know what I mean? And I end up coming, and I ended up, even though I jerked off to porn yesterday, I ended up coming in literally under 40 seconds. And Angel's what? Angel didn't believe me. He kept trying to touch my dick and be it's he's always thinking I'm lying about it. It's I'm not lying that I came. You know what I mean?
I love when people come fast. It's hot. It's look at my the power of my tight little pussy.
Yeah.
How long do you think you normally have sex for?
It's impossible
to tell, isn't it?
It's impossible
Sometimes
to tell.
Sometimes I was was that 9 minutes or 45?
It depends. Never super. I mean, I think early in our relationship, I was down for multiple positions and stuff. But now it's once it's in, I'm kind of like just leave it in because it's like going to be a whole thing taking it in and out and putting it back. You know what I mean? So it depends on position too. Like if it's like kind of missionary vibes, it takes Angela longer to come. Mm. And if it's like doggy, he'll come faster. So it's like depends on that. And yeah, I don't know. It's like however long, but not super long though.
Yeah.
Which I don't need. I don't need to be fucked in the ass for super long. I mean, what is this?
I feel you. I'm waiting for my coffee to be delivered. I'm kind of like hoping that.
Have you not had caffeine yet?
No, I haven't had caffeine yet. I woke up. I ended up sleeping very late. I also think on this new medicine I'm on, like if I have two drinks, I'm feeling really, which is amazing for me. I'm feeling really nice and loose and fucked up. So anyways, I had two drinks during the show and then. And we ended up sleeping till like 11, and then I woke up and started doing this.
God.
2 weeks ago, Brian and I were coming home from the show, and like we'd ordered Domino's to the Domino's app, which is my new kink. And then in the car, we started trying to be sexy towards each other, but then we both knew like the Domino's was gonna beat us, and like we were gonna there was no way in hell we were gonna like have sex and then do the Domino's. So like we were like all turned on, and then we walked into my apartment and just like ate Domino's and didn't have sex.
Yeah. Sometimes that's better.
You know what I want to share actually with the pod is that a rom-com I was in is premiering at the Tribeca Film Festival this weekend, and it was recently some IFC bought the movie, and it's gonna be coming to a theater near you, I believe.
That's incredible.
It is incredible. It's so fun. It was like this amazing guy, Jonah Feingold, wrote and directed it. Friend of the pod, Jabuki Young White, stars with Francesca Reale, who's also amazing. And then me and Bri play lovers in it, which is so fun.
Wow, art really can imitate life sometimes.
I know. Well, the story is that basically I was going to be in the movie, and then I met up with the director, and by chance, it turns out like he had knew Bri from childhood or something. And so then a few weeks later, he was like, wait, I have an idea. Like, we're still looking to cast your love interest. Would you be okay if Bri auditioned? I'm like, duh. And then he was like, I want to get him the part. And I'm like, obviously, this is incredible. Get to make out with my boyfriend on camera. Let's freaking go.
Yeah.
So it all worked out.
Well, I think it's ready to be time to bring in our guest.
Oh, okay.
Don't you think?
Is it?
I don't know.
Yeah. So anyway, I just wanted to kind of share that, and I'm excited for y'all to see the movie. It's called Dating in New York. It's like a cute, feel-good rom-com. And enough is enough. This feels weird doing it backwards, but yeah, we are going to now bring in our guests. They're amazing.
You know them. You love them.
They really are so cool and wise and funny, and I'm so glad we got to have them on the pod. Put your ears open for Spike Einbinder.
Woo!
Woo!
Hi.
Oh my God, how are you?
What's up? Good, how are you?
You look stunning.
Thank you so much. Your hair is
perfection.
I combed it today, thank you.
It shows.
Incredible.
Oh my God.
How are you?
We're amazing. We're incredible. Can you tell?
Yeah, we're amazing.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, is the noise of my AC like really crazy right now? Or is it chill?
We're accepting. It's chill for me, and I'm also... I'm making the executive decision to leave my AC on, so we're just going to go through with it.
Honestly, it'll feel like radio. It'll be that warmth.
Yes. Totally. Everyone gather around the campfire. Let's turn on the radio. Let's listen to an old-timey podcast.
90s kids.
It's a fireside chat.
Cool. Yes.
I'm so excited. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, my God.
Of course.
It's a dream, and we're sorry we had to reschedule.
It's okay.
You're mad at us.
No, I almost did because I was worried about the AC, but it's much more temperate today than it was the last 2 days.
Yeah, it's going to be, no one get too excited, no one freak out. Okay, everyone just calm down, don't cut your chickens before they hatch.
Okay, we're sitting.
But according to weather.com, it's going to be only 70 at 7 p.m. tonight.
Oh wow. My God, that sounds incredible.
Yeah.
Do you care about real feel?
What's that?
I do care about real feel. You know, I didn't care about real feel until 3 days ago when I became obsessed with real feel.
Because humidity changes everything.
I don't care about real feel in the winter. For me, like in the winter, it's like I don't care about real feel. But then when it comes to humidity and how that comes into play when we're talking about real feel, that's
punishing. Yeah,
that's when I feel punished.
Another level.
It's so scary. I walk That's one block. I'm dying.
I ran yesterday, and I waited till, say with me, 11:20 p.m. at night.
Wow, it's still hot then.
Still literally hot. Still literally. Well, it's hard because it's like you wait till night so it's cooler, and then the humidity gets higher. It's like, how am I supposed to win?
Wait, that is so crazy.
My body naturally wakes up when it's like okay to be awake, and it's in, it was 5:15 a.m. 2 days ago. This morning, 4:24 a.m. It was like the temperature is okay for you to exist now, and like did things for 2 hours. It was like shut down, shut down, shut down. Like go to sleep before the rest of your day.
It's my dream. It's my dream to wake up at 6 a.m. every day and go to bed at 10.
I'm like 11-ish.
Seven. Oh my God. If you're getting seven, like you can still kind of be in the mix. You could still kind of be someone who's out there talking, having conversations. For me, if I'm getting six, it's like it's not going to work for me.
Yeah, I wake up and I'm isolated sometimes by the 6 a.m. deal or like the 7 a.m. deal, but Peter Smith is an early bird too. So we often will just text each other like one word to be like, we're here in this ether, in this like early morning, like something just like flat.
Oh, that's beautiful. Like,
that's so powerful. Well, it's a
sauce.
I feel like I've heard that before. Did you ever tweet that?
Flat?
No, not flat. I feel like I've heard
the word flat before.
I'm like, that quote was so meaningful to me.
That me and Peter are always up. I always tweet like saying people's names as if everyone knows what is happening at all times. Like I'm like, me and Peter will whatever. Like I'm never everyone is always like fly on the wall for me for Twitter.
Yes. Yes. I'm kind of the same way. Yeah. Wait, where do you live?
Where are you still, Crown Heights?
I moved.
Where, tell us everything.
I moved from where I lived for like almost 8 years to Bedford-Stuyvesant. I love it. And it's so nice. And I live here with my partner and my boyfriend. God damn it. I'm trying to say boyfriend more.
Really? Why?
I'm trying to reclaim boyfriend.
Talk to us about that.
Yeah. Tell me about because, that.
Because like I think it's cuter and I don't want people to be like boyfriend. I don't want to be like, yes, boyfriend. And yeah. I am also boyfriend. I'm like done with partner.
Yeah, I totally hear that. I think that people are addicted to saying the following sentence. People are addicted to being like, I mean, let's face it, boyfriend just sounds like kids or teenagers. It's like, I'm an adult.
So insane.
It's like, shut up. No, it doesn't.
But also, like, how many old ladies do you know who are like, my boyfriend?
My boyfriend's grandma had a boyfriend before he passed away.
And also, I never had a boyfriend when I was little, so, like, let me have that now.
Yeah,
let
totally.
Let me live. Let me be almost 30 with a boyfriend.
Let me experience boyfriend.
As someone who came out as gay at 25 years old, it's like, let me be 32 with a boyfriend. Let me be 42 with a boyfriend.
That's what this month is about, honestly.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that.
That's exactly what this month is about. And that's why we had to reschedule you, because we wanted you on in June.
Yes! I'm wearing rainbow, you
know? Yes. Oh, my God.
It's actually so disturbing how much I love, like, rainbow. Like, I feel it's part of my whole, I don't know. I just like all the colors.
Well, also, tie-dye is a very trendy thing right now. So you can walk into, like, an H&M and you can really get some tie-dye bike shorts that look incredible.
Yeah. I got this shirt at a store called Rainbow, and Rainbow
is an amazing space.
Yeah, it's the best.
Spike, you're starting to be really corporate pride, and we don't like that on this podcast.
Yeah, my Camelback water bottle.
This episode is sponsored by TD Bank.
Yeah, I need to be hydrated in order to go on queer dates with my queer dates.
Wait, so how long have you and
Spike,
your boyfriend?
I have to tell you. Wait, sorry.
Oh, what? Everybody.
Well, here's what I have to tell you, Spike, because before we leave this, you know, so my foster puppy has been adopted.
Yes, Brittany.
And Brittany, her new name is Daisy, which is very sweet.
Oh, whoa. That is like, how do you feel about that?
You know, if they were going to pick another name, Daisy's a good one, but she'll always be Brittany to me.
You can't go from Brittany to Daisy.
That's not okay
with me.
She is a Brittany.
I don't like changing their names. As someone who fully changed my name, I don't change my dog's names, and I believe in keeping their God-given names at all costs.
How do you feel that I changed the spelling? Because the foster gave me like Brittany, and I was like, we're spelling
With the I?
I was like, we're spelling it like Spears.
Yeah, you know, that's real, but also
sacrilege.
You're telling people the name. You're not showing people on a sign what the name is
right
when you meet her.
I could, and that would be really normal.
For a long time, like people would relationally ask me about my dead name and be like, oh, like X. And then that turned into like, oh, like Y. And then when I changed my name to Spike, people first mishear me. And then I say like bike. And then they make me say, oh, Spike, why didn't you just say like Spike Lee? And everyone makes me have to compare myself to Spike Lee. And I'm like, there's no comparison.
No, you're your own
The man's
person.
A legend. I can't do it.
I can't imagine being like, why didn't you just tell me Spike Lee in the first place?
Yeah, I'm like, I'm so sorry. I didn't like immediately relate myself to this eminent human with like the shared name as me.
Same kind of people who don't like the term boyfriend are making you say Spike Lee.
Grilling. You know what? People need to learn how to talk to me correctly.
For
in this
once.
I'll tell you what. You know, for me, speaking of Brittany and Brittany, the two names that are different, like Catherine changed her dog's name from one to the other. For me, Brittany, Brittany, will always be the original way to spell it because that's how a girl in my kindergarten class spelled it. And then the Britney Spears way will always be like, kind of the hot new thing, because that's how Britney Spears like exploded onto the scene when I was in sixth grade and was like, this is how I spell Britney. Any questions?
So when I had a dog for 10 days and she cracked.
It was only 10 days.
It was
really?
10 days and she cracked open my heart.
It was like years, doesn't it?
She's been in my dreams every night since she left.
Oh my God.
Like, to have a dog in your dreams is so crazy. I'm just like,
I have a dog in my dreams every dream, and it's really, they're usually really. It's intense. Sometimes it's Fabio, which is like really intense. But
it's so intense.
I have a lot of dog dreams.
I've never had a dog in my dream. What does that mean?
There's still time.
Okay.
What does that mean? Yeah, it means go to sleep tonight and listen. That's what it means. Get ready, Pat.
If any dream interpreters are listening to the podcast, can you please DM me and tell me what it means that I've never had a dog in my dream?
That reminds me of one time Julio, one of the like earliest stories I remember him telling me was him having a dream that I was in and me turning to him in the dream and saying, there's never been fire in your dreams before while there was fire.
Wow.
Weird.
I like will never forget that.
That's really spooky. That's and I'm actually not comfortable with it.
Okay, we can cut it out if you guys.
Yeah, can we definitely cut that out? That didn't need to be cut.
I just think it's really dark.
Yeah, I mean, I feel empowered by it personally, but to each his own, and that's what this month is all about.
That's what this month is all about.
If you don't appear in my dream tonight saying there's never been fire in my dream, then we're not going to be able to release this episode.
There's never been a dog in your dream before, like going insane.
Wait, how many dogs do you personally own?
I personally own two, but in my head, all the dogs that I care for are a little bit mine. So I feel like combined, I probably have about two dogs, 100%, and then like 25 dogs that are like 15 to 45%.
I was going to try to do the math to figure out like how much full dogs that is, but that is too hard.
Sorry. I also can't do it. But yeah, I have two dogs.
What I learned is that, so when Brittany cracked open my heart, I was awake before 7 a.m. for the first time in my life, and I was out on the West Side Highway, and I was like, wow, people are really doing stuff at this hour. And it was really it was a whole community that I've been missing, and people were working out, they were meeting other people. It was a whole world.
And there's dogs, there's a lot of dogs,
so many dogs. And
Spike,
are you part of
that community?
That's where I used to have my main dog walking route, is right where you live, Catherine.
Oh,
so for like 3.5 years that was like 5 days a week, every day, with like a bunch of dogs. And the West Side Highway was like a place I would always take them to, there to the pier, like the Hudson River Park and stuff, and to certain dog runs. But yeah, that was a neighborhood for me for a long time, and I met two other dog walkers there, three, who are all still in my life today.
Amazing.
It's really cool.
Are you exclusively Brooklyn now for dog walking?
I'm exclusively Brooklyn now, and I'm really got it down to the area where you used to live, Catherine.
I love that area.
That's my zone.
Oh, yeah. I want to move back by the park is what I'm thinking, because it's game changer.
That's my goal, too.
It's good for the soul.
Everybody I work with, because we're in a worker-owned co-op, which I love to talk about because it's cool to me that we don't have a boss and we all just work together.
That
and
is cool.
None of them are my employees. We just are all like in a tacit agreement to not be shitty to each other and help each other.
That being said, I would love to come in and kind of be the boss and be the manager.
If you want to exploit us, take a profit from our labor while not doing anything, we're all used to that. So you could just come
wait.
Right
I
in.
Just got news that Bethany Frankel actually wants to run your dog
we're
walking
now
business.
Skinny girl dog walking. Yes, can't wait. It's a margarita mix and dog walking company. Yeah, but it's my favorite thing in the world. I love it.
How long have y'all been doing that together?
I quit the company that I used to work for almost a year ago.
Like, oh, amazing.
To date. So this is like my, I've been dog walking for years, but this is my almost first full year, just no boss, just me with other people, like working together and helping each other as needed and stuff like that. And it's really, really good. And I aspired to do something like this, and so that I could support myself. And it's just in a comfortable way where I can still be creative and do performance and everything and not feel like, because when I worked for a company, it was that tension of like, I need your employment, so I can't like be too live about my like performance shit with all this coverage, or you're gonna, I was like punished for that, which
sucks. My God.
Yeah.
That's
so
crazy.
Now like all the people I work with are like, oh, you need off because you have like to do an audition, or like you need, I mean, I got into an accident. This hand is swollen. I don't know if you can tell, like people covered me. My clients understood when I canceled, like just like all this stuff that I was like conditioned into believing was insane to ask for as an employee.
Yeah.
I've just like done away with it. And the people who are sticking with me are like real ones, clients and like coworkers. And it's cool.
That's
it's
the best.
It's crazy when like when I was a nanny, it would be like, to not have like an awareness that's like, yes, this is my job, but I have a large life out. Like, this is not necessarily what I would aspire to be doing
care,
in 20 years.
A caregiving job.
Totally. It's like, I have other things that I have to do, and that's going to have to like also exist.
Yeah.
Have you been started doing a lot of shows again?
Has anyone been started doing a lot of shows again? Like, I am booked for some shows that are coming up, and that will be like my first return to the stage.
Yeah.
And I
yeah.
was like, I'm like, now cool with that happening. And when I was getting booking requests for outdoor stuff in the past, I was not. So now it's like, it's just meeting in the graph. They're intersecting finally.
Yeah, I did one outdoor show during COVID, and it wasn't my favorite thing I ever done, is what I will say.
I've hosted a fun outdoor show that I want to bring back, which is, you've probably both done it, the like infused food show.
Oh, that was so fun.
Yeah, we're going to bring that back. Yes,
I've never been.
I've reached out to you, Pat, and you can't do it.
It was inside.
Pat,
it was
this is our
go to the DMs. Pat.
You're like that's not true, Ellen.
I did invite you.
I did invite you, and I have straight across bangs. So what is the problem? Did she have straight across bangs in that interview?
Absolutely.
I'm sure.
There's no way. There's no way she didn't.
Because I don't remember her name, so I hope that is true. One detail.
Did you know that I couldn't remember? I wanted to say this is our Ellen blank moment, but I couldn't remember her name.
Should I drop? Should I drop the name?
Dakota.
Is it Johnson?
Yes, Dakota, that's what I said.
And Dakota Johnson is the girl who, in her Architectural Digest interview, talks about having limes in her house. She has a big bowl of limes. And she's like, I love my limes.
Like a walnut bowl?
Yes.
I watched that, and I don't remember the limes, but my takeaway was like, she's real. I was like, oh, she can stay.
She had great style.
Yeah. What celebs do you like, Spike?
What celebs do you like, Spike?
The new segment for our podcast.
My funny friends.
I know like, so many cool, interesting people just here in New York, and it's so
fun. Yes, dude. Like, I'm trying to think of the celebrities that I like. I didn't know you were going
to
ask me that.
It's hard to like a celeb. I'm trying to think of what celeb I like. Taylor Swift.
How about Jen Aniston?
Oh, wait, yes. And she really influenced me because everybody knows this about me. I wear the Rachel haircut.
Yes, of course.
Yes,
I wear the
yes.
Rachel.
Honey, you wear it well.
I've never seen Friends, so, which is weird because I used to dog sit and work for someone who lived in the apartment across the street from the cafe facade that's in the West Village. So like I would dog sit and be having five dogs in this little studio apartment and then hear like different languages of guided tours that like included it as a landmark in every language you could think of, like an Italian Friends like whatever tour, like a TV tour, whatever, and then like Spanish and every single language, just like only two languages that I named, but there were more. And it was like so strange to be like, you're all coming to this corner for a awning that's from a TV show of it, right? Is this a?
I know that because you know
what
where
street
that
is that on?
Downing,
that
is,
and that is right by the school that my nanny kids
or Grove.
To go
sorry,
to.
Oh, the Little Red Schoolhouse.
Yes.
So you know the West Village deal as well. You all know.
It feels like I nanny for 20 years. I nanny for like a year and a half.
That's like how I feel about being Brittany's mom.
Wait, me?
Me, no, me.
Oh, yes.
But I'm saying it feels like I nannied for 10 years, but I actually nannied for a year and a half.
It's like,
but
there were always,
it was strangely, like one time I was walking the kids and we were passing that and there was all these people like taking pictures of the front of the building and they were like, why are they doing that? And I was like, well, there's
that's
a show,
where
Friends was. There's a show called Friends, and they were like, but why do they care? And I was that's an amazing question.
That's me. I'm those kids. Like, I'm like, but when? And people are just like, it's culture. You need to shut up.
My connection to Jennifer Aniston is that I remember being a teen and reading in a magazine that she said she'd always struggled with her weight and she's always fluctuated. And then I looked at her and I thought, you have never struggle with your weight, and I've never felt less connected to you, Jennifer Aniston. You're not a size 6, and so you struggle with your weight, Jennifer. But I support her, and I wish her the best.
Yeah, I had she's like one of the few celebrity impressions I would ever do in my life.
I want to see that.
Really?
What?
I need to see that.
I mean, should I just go?
Let's fucking go.
Okay. That was it. But it would be like, that's her agreeing to be the spokesperson for Smart Water. Was the joke.
That's very good.
That was what the meeting looked like.
That was LOL.
But yeah, that's like the only relation. I like, you know, I think young Steve Buscemi is really hot. And that's like where the celebrity little quota in my head exists and is filled, I guess.
I just, wait, you know what I just saw?
No.
Last night I watched the Amanda Knox doc.
It's good.
Kind of like, I know that she posted something being like, living my best life, and people were like, what the hell? But like, I don't know what she did, honestly, which is stupid of me, but I'm classically ill-informed.
No, that was me before. Basically, that was me before I started my relationship with my same-sex sexual partner.
Gorge.
And because I'm 32 and I don't say boyfriend like a baby. And
Google Gaga over here. Google Gaga. My boyfriend just left.
Yeah, but we're giving each other handmade cards for V-Day still.
But she like is like a, she went abroad, studied abroad in Italy, and then one day like her roommate was this British woman who was like brutally murdered.
Oh, yes. Brutally
and then
murdered.
Italy was like, we think it's you, and you have to stay here like indefinitely in jail. And she was like, wait, but it wasn't me. And they're like, no, we need you to stay here in jail because we want it to be you. But
Italy was like, we think it's you. Familiar story.
Italy, you crazy bitch.
Yeah.
But the reason I know a lot about it is because the reason I found out about it like a year ago is because my boyfriend's sister went abroad to Italy like the 2 months later, which is like I always say like that's not that big of a deal, but and also I was like Rebecca thinks she's innocent because you know she was there, she was in that town a couple months later. I'm like, so that doesn't mean like that.
No,
was she investigating? Did she find
she
DNA
killed.
Evidence?
Yeah, she came home alive.
Well,
she came
did
home
she
alive.
Stand by her.
Did she do it?
The doc is one of those things that, first of all, having watched the doc, absolutely not. But also having watched the doc, they clearly want you to think that.
Whoa.
You know, when a doc wants you to think one way completely and you walk away like being like, they wanted me to feel this way. And I do because I saw the doc. But like, I know that was by design, but I still feel that way.
I know that feeling.
Yeah.
The doc wanted you to hate a British journalist. They wanted you to hate the Italian police. They wanted you to like Amanda Knox. And they wanted you... And they wanted you to think she didn't do it.
Wow.
But I did feel bad for her.
Yeah, that sounds really traumatic. Hey, whether or not she's a murderer, it's traumatic to have
a
dog.
She's a human.
Yeah.
And that's what this one is all about.
Oh my god, I swear to god, I mean, I love to be fun and flirty and actually wear nail polish once in a while. Bravest thing anyone's ever done this side of the Mississippi, as they say. But the problem is that I don't have good nails. I actually bite my nails. Going to get a manicure is absolutely humiliating for me, and it's also like so expensive, which is fair, but if you're someone who wants to spend less money on your nails but still actually have gorgeous claws, as they say, then I have a fun little brand for you, and it's called Olive and June.
I never thought in my life I could do my nails at home alone. First of all, it's impossible. When I try and use it with my left hand, I look absolutely crazy. So what I got was the Olive and June Mani system, and now I know that DIY manis that look salon perfect and last 7+ days are possible. Everyone always asks where I get my nails done. Now I can say, honey, I do them myself. So What I love about the O&J Manny system, A, they have gorgeous colors. B, they have the most amazing little, like, thing to take off the nail polish that makes it so easy. No mess, no random, like, cotton ball pads everywhere. Basically, the system comes with all the tools you need in one box. It's only 5 steps, and it comes with Poppy, a patented brush handle that makes it so easy to paint with both your hands. Plus, it's affordable. The Manny system with 6 polishes breaks down to $2 a Manny. Honey, I used to spend $35 for one gel Manny. The polish is literally amazing. Everyone's asking if my polish was gel because it's so shiny and does not chip. I was like, honey, this never normally happens. My nails have honestly never looked so good, and I did it myself. Plus, it's fun, it's relaxing, it's a little bit of a self-care moment, which we love. So basically, the Olive and June Manny system is the secret behind salon perfect nails at home. All in one, no guessing, no messy nails, no salon price tag.
So, if you are someone who is like me, then your new nail life is here. Get 20% off your first Manny system when you use promo code SEEKTREATMENT at oliveandjune.com. We're done with expensive, bad Mannies. This is the new us now, okay?
Get 20% off your first Manny system when you use promo code SEEKTREATMENT at oliveandjune.com.
Hi. Okay, so the world is literally racing to get back to normal and start meeting up in person again, my worst nightmare. But after the year we've all had, getting back to feeling normal takes literal time. For instance, every single show I have done so far, The Green Room, has been a traumatic experience in which I've been asked to actually make eye contact and talk to other people and kind of have no idea if they hate me or not, and then leave and just kind of hope everything went okay. But of course, worry about it for the next 7 months. And going to parties, I mean, don't get me started. I can't even drink my face off. Just gonna have to stand there and hope a conversation happens. And when it does, hope it ends as soon as possible. So anyways, if you're at all like me and you're feeling overwhelmed by it all, then you actually are not alone because you're kind of like me. And so it's important to find the support you need to face those feelings and move forward.
So if you are looking for a quick, easy way to get therapy, you will love Talkspace. I've used Talkspace when I was having a panic attack a few years ago, and they were there for me. Talkspace makes it easy to match with a licensed therapist and schedule live video sessions all from the comfort of your device. The Talkspace app makes it easy to start messaging your therapist the same day you sign up. Whether you're a parent, student, millennial, or just someone having a hard day, Talkspace can provide the support to help you feel better with a single message. Talkspace offers individual and couples therapy in addition to medication prescription services. You can set goals with your therapist, and they can help make sure you're actually progressing. Talkspace therapists help you develop tools to cope in difficult times. It works around your schedule at your convenience. You can send and receive unlimited messages with your dedicated therapist inside the app. Schedule live video sessions from anywhere.
Whether you're experiencing depression, anxiety, or other problems, Talkspace is the number one online therapy platform to help you sort through any issue. Thousands of licensed therapists are available for you to match with.
Start feeling better with a single message. Match with a licensed therapist when you go to Talkspace.com and get $100 off your first month with the promo code SEEKTREATMENT. That's $100 off when you use the code SEEKTREATMENT at Talkspace.com. Okay, Spike. So we like to ask a little question on the pod. Who were you? Who are you? And who do you want to be?
I feel like I have listened to that question be asked so many times. Oh. And when it gets to you, you never expect how it's
you never saw
feel.
This coming.
When I don't know, when I was really young, I had a hard time like feeling like a human being, or no, it felt something was different about me than all the other kids or whatever. And that kind of like had me doing some world building very early on and existing within it outside of the rest of the world. And I used to tell people that I was a dog and that I could communicate with dogs. Like it was like a kind of like a Superman meets Eliza Thornberry like backstory that I created for myself, of like having been sent to Earth from like a dog planet to like parse the language and treatment of dogs like to humans for their like betterment and safety. And then like the only way that I could get people to like be nice to me was by being funny, because I was so just like out there as a human being. I guess it was not not normalized to interact with someone like me. So there was a lot of moments when I was like, oh, the ways in which you deride me, I will then capitalize on, turn, say before you, and gain respect that way. And it became like, you know, led to doing comedy at a really young age.
And wait, how young are we talking?
When I was like 13.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I was like, I want to take improv and do stand-up. Like a yes. little that, and being like, so I wear this back brace for my scoliosis, and you could say my body is a cage Arcade Fire. Like it was...
okay, that's hilarious.
It was wild.
Wait.
Because you're LA. You're LA kid.
I was LA, and then like I am LA, even though I moved to New York when I was 17 and I'm 29, so I'm still LA somehow.
And do you think you'll be New York forever?
I just even said I'm LA.
Yeah. Well,
when someone says they're LA, believe them.
Can we take this again? I'm sorry.
Someone tells you they're LA, you gotta believe them. What is that song?
I'm wearing this rainbow. Oh, it's Hollywood when by Madonna.
Oh, it's also.
anyone remember that one?
I was like, yeah.
For me, it's Taylor Swift 15. When you're 15 and someone tells you. Okay. You love them, you're gonna believe them.
I'm Swift illiterate, but doesn't she have a song about being 22 as well?
Of course.
She does. Wow. She draws a lot of inspiration.
And the lyric is, I don't know about you, but I'm feeling 22.
So would you say that 1989 is then a prequel song for her age being negative something?
1989, though, is an album, not a song.
Oh, I'm so sorry. See, I don't know what
it's okay.
things are.
It's okay.
It's okay. It's okay. And that's why we brought you on. We really wanted to teach you about Taylor Swift. That's why we wanted to bring you on.
She's my favorite celebrity. I forgot to say that. And now I'm...
We are actively, like, actually not a pop culture podcast. We talk more about, like, middle Thank school you, yeah. than celebrities. So that's, cool. yes. That's kind of where we fall on that issue.
I only said what's your favorite celebrity because I thought Dakota Johnson's home tour made her seem down to earth.
Yeah,
and then that felt like a logical next step,
and that sparked the conversation we're currently in.
Yeah,
and that sparked joy,
which is who I want to be. Which is I want to be a huge Taylor Swift fan.
No.
I don't care about.
Okay,
that,
so actually, so you're doing comedy. You're 13 years old. I'm obsessed. So you're you're Amanda Bynes vibes.
Yeah, and I was like, oh man, like that was all my personality was like, these adults are being weird.
Was that your onstage persona?
No, it was very like, you wouldn't expect a 13-year-old to act like they know how to smoke a cigarette, but yes. I do. It was like yeah, that. Yeah. And I didn't know how to smoke a cigarette. I was smoking since then, but I stopped for a long time. But yeah, it was just jokes like that, jokes about homework. Like, I had a joke that was like something about getting, like, wearing a black eye to my yearbook portrait picture, like, just goofy stuff.
So like, when you're a kid doing comedy, are you like in adult comedy clubs or what's the vibe?
I went to like a writing camp for like other precocious children who, one was a child actor who like needed to round out his existence, who like had a mom manager and all these things.
Oh my
and
God.
I was like begging my parents to let me do comedy. And they were like, well, you're 13, so you can't go inside a bar.
Yeah.
They don't have child open mics, but like they researched and there was a summer thing where you could go to the Hollywood Improv during the day and like learn
I love
about
that.
Things.
Oh my
and
God,
I love that.
I went with my friends and we got to do a show at the Improv at 5 p.m.
For some reason, I thought you were going to say they don't have child open mics, but then they research and they do have child open mics. And so that is where
I
went.
Oh my God. I'm really worried someone's going to listen to this and start a child open mic.
Oh God.
What was I going to say? We do not accept liability for any child open mics that are started.
Child bringers, that's illegal. So
that literally
can't
is
have
legal.
A child bringer show.
And that's trafficking. Bringers in general, bringer shows are trafficking.
Oh my God, I forgot about bringer shows.
And time.
Oh my God.
But wait. What was I going to say? That reminds me of in my last JFL RIP audition. I went on immediately following a 12-year-old girl who like had braids and her dad was in. I was actually saying yes to her dad. Her dad was mouthing her jokes along with her.
For the same JFL?
I'm going up against her. I'm actually going up after her for my JFL audition.
Okay, so I should have told my parents that I wanted to do JFL then. I'm so fucking stupid.
I mean, you're
13,
a moron.
Like, this sucks.
You're really, really dumb. And
yeah,
so,
I'm gonna make some calls after this.
You know what? Like those JFL shows when there's like the air is like it literally sucks more than anything. Oh, it's the worst place you could ever imagine to be in. This girl who I was finally going up right after it ran the light for, I swear to God, like 12 minutes. Like, just saying things that didn't really make sense that her dad was, like, on board with. I was like, this is crazy. I was like, by the way, I tried to get a JFL audition for, like, 3 years before I did. So it's like, I love that this girl's kind of, like, anyways, I wish her the best. I don't remember her name, but I wish her the best. I do choose to wish her the best.
She's going to be big. She's going to headline JFL this year.
We'll all be working for her one day.
Yeah, oh my God.
We're all smoking cigarettes and laughing so loud right now, you guys. You have no idea.
It's big prohibition energy.
Roaring 20s post-pandemic. Yes. This is Roaring
20s. I'm wearing an Empire waist thing that goes down to my ankles. Still sexy.
Oh my God. Do either of you, and I know Catherine doesn't, so Spike, do you watch Real Housewives?
I started to in quarantine for the first time ever delve.
Okay, cool. So you'll find on your journey that almost every season of every franchise there is a Roaring 20s party.
Yes. There's that. And there's like a, we have drag queens here, yay, like yeah, thing yes. every time. Yes. Like, yes. Come here, like, oh, let me touch every part of your body without asking because I paid you. Like, okay, now go away. The gays love me. Like, I love those episodes per season.
Now go away. The gays love me.
Yeah. Now go away.
There was on New York this week, there was a party that was this theme, Halloween, 70s pageant queen. So you had to be,
Halloween. That sounds amazing.
It's like, okay, even Halloween, was they all like
the Halloween one with like the elaborately decorated tables, like jungle themed woods, like smoke coming out of everything one, or is that a past Halloween? Because there were like multiple Halloween X collabo parties, I feel like.
There was New York has shown a lot of Halloweens. Some more problematic than others.
Yeah.
But Atlanta had a Halloween party the past season that was like the new girl who was like a friend of and wasn't really on it very much was hosting it, which is huge for her. Mm-hmm. And her whole personality was that like she had a really rich husband, and like whenever someone felt like having drama because like they weren't getting screen time, they'd be like, I think that you're only married to your husband for money. Mm. And like they would like get in a fight over literally nothing. And it's like we all just had this conversation. But
and the husband would like come out of a room and he's like a shrimp taped to a chair and they'd be like, baby, yeah. We're in love. Like she's like petting his tail, it falls off.
A shrimp taped to a chair.
Oh my God.
That's like some of them where I'm like, oh, you're really in love, but he doesn't seem like he can recognize your face. Like,
But it was like everyone came and like there was this haunted house you had to walk through to get there, but then like once you got there was nothing to do and they just stood there and then they all left and they were all their confessionals, like there was nothing to do at that party. And it's like, okay, I don't talk to each other or something, you know what I mean? Like, what does she want, pin the tail on the donkey?
Yeah, the interactivity aspects of a lot of these parties are like on a level to where I think I wouldn't want that to happen at a party. I like being able to be free when I'm in those spaces. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, it's ding 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 time for this portion of this, like that's stressful. And it's also like bat mitzvah energy.
Yes, because the other thing is like I'm hiring actors to come in and freeze us naked, to freeze us naked statues, and it's like no one needs a naked statue at a party. You know what I mean? No one needs a live naked statue.
I need that. I want to come out of saying I need that. And I have all these parties that you're describing sound really fun to me.
Like, were they spray painted like a color to appear, or were they actually
a
just
gold?
Yes.
Body?
Yeah. Like no, yeah, like a
I want to be
person.
I want to be body painted like the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue where they like are body painted into bathing suits. That's my goal. That's my career goal.
It would be cool if I was body painted into the cover of Sports Illustrated, but just like a beach scene with my whole body to blend in camouflage, like including the logo. One day when they start letting non-binary he, they, trans people on the cover of Sports Illustrated, which is honestly probably going to be next Pride.
We're one Pride out from that.
It's me, and I'm wearing a high-cut bikini so high that I just hang it on my ears.
You know what was always so horny to me, and it's so crazy that, like, they did it, was the Sports Illustrated, like, body issue where they would just show athletes naked, including men athletes.
Don't remember that.
Were they doing the pose of, like, one leg up blocking? Was it like the cupped hand over the crotch, full front?
It was always like, you know, it was, I think, often inspired by like the sport. So like Anton Ono, a problem would be like pretending he's like skating, right? But you see the ass.
And the legs are just split. It's very Lord from underneath, but from the side.
Exactly. It's very much like you can see ass, but we're not going to go ahead and show you full front.
I love how ass is allowed.
Ass has always been allowed. Coppertone, baby.
She invented ass.
Ass is especially allowed and encouraged, like, lately, I feel like. Yeah. Lately, it's like, it's ass is everywhere on television. Yeah, literally.
Take my ass, please.
Yeah.
Oh my God, one of my favorite asses I saw on TV was in season one of The Boys, which is actually a show I don't really watch, but I saw it, the pilot. You see Chase Crawford's ass, and it was incredible. And I watched it because I was interviewing him at Tribeca and in the cast, and I said, Chase, we saw your ass. And like no one thought it was like that funny. And then I was like, okay, I loved it. And it was like,
oh my God.
I know. So Chase, if you're listening, I'm sorry that if I made you feel uncomfortable at Tribeca Film Festival.
I watched that show with my partner, my similar sex partner, I should say.
similar sex,
not the same, but we're, you know.
Now, I remember back in the day, it was 1920, we were 14 years old. We would have coffee in my old neighborhood, and you guys were not yet living together.
No, we
were. And now you've made the leap. If you feel comfortable, I want to hear about that journey.
Have you seen the movie Midsommar?
Yes.
So the pubic hair blood thing is a thing, and it works. It works, baby. We're having fun. Because he, during COVID, early start of COVID, was like, I'm going to choose to live here with you and help keep you safe because you're immune compromised, have asthma. And
that's so sweet.
My family, like where he was living with them, they are both working in different settings where they would be safer than him, like having to travel. Yeah. So he chose me.
You won.
Yeah, but then we moved because the building that I was living in they were like purposefully not doing any kind of upkeep in order for people to leave, so that I assume they can do what they did to me, was like immediately renovate the unit after I was gone to market.
Oh my God. Did you get a like good deal because of COVID?
No. I like just, that doesn't exist. Like I was talking to someone who, I don't remember why they were sharing this with me, but they were like, there's no such thing as low rent because of COVID. Like rent is only going up for New York's. Oh, it was a guy who on my route, I talk to every single person who talks to me because life is too short to be like, unless they're really being flagrant, in which case I will verbally slice them up with my sharp, sharp tongue. Like just believe in being human to other people. There was a guy who was a super for a building for like 12 years. And he's like, in all my life, like rent is only going up. It's never going down, even this COVID shit. People just moving around. So no kind of deal, but I'm very like grateful and lucky. And it was a really hard thing to do to leave my other apartment where I had, you know, everybody knew my name as Fabio where I used to live because Fabio and I would be hanging out on the street so much and he was off leash and like such, everybody knew him. So that was like hard to leave that aspect of the neighborhood, but I'm like already making friends with the lady around the block with her off leash dog, her Fabio, his name is Gaston, and we're hanging out. So this is fun.
Oh my God. I was so horny for Gaston when I was little.
Whenever I see him, I'm like, you're named after this like psychotic male. And then he'll always try to hump Spider-Man. And I think that's so funny. I'm like remembering him just eating all the eggs and being like, that's you.
Oh my gosh. Cool, yes.
You're obsessed with eggs humping my dog Gaston.
Wait, Spider-Man, what's your other dog's name?
Her name is Nellie. And these are just their names. Like Fabio is named Fabio. Yeah, Spider-Man, his brothers were named Tarzan and Shazam. So he came from a cool family.
I started watching a TikTok trend where the litter of puppies gets to pick their own collar. Have you seen this?
No, but that is like, I have to like thrust the tongue to my roof of my mouth to not cry. Like shoving it up there, like don't.
It's unbelievable. They lay out these different colors.
Allowed to do that as a person.
It's crazy. They lay out these different color collars, and they like release the puppies, and they like go over to the color they want. It's really crazy. I'll stop.
What if they want the same color?
They go one
just
at a time.
Just name them one, and one the other one with like two on the name or whatever.
Yeah.
Lucky two.
So sweet. Wait, so who were you? What was heist like? What was the deal with heist? Heist
was like, really just like grateful to the people who took a chance on me in heist. Like everybody, that flapping noise is my dog shaking off. Spidey, come here. Yeah, people in high school, I did a lot of hanging out with like what I would consider to be theater kids, but I was not a theater kid all the way because I couldn't like do this. Like I was like never able to go to that place. I was always like, this is a little fucking weird, right? Like I couldn't like get in.
Yeah, totally.
But they accepted me. And like I actually started a club at my high school called Stand Up Comedy Club. And we had a meeting every week on Monday, and every week in my high school the all school meeting would happen, and you would go and make announcements for the club. So I would go every Monday and say, hey, just a reminder, stand-up comedy club is on Monday. We've had 4 meetings and I'm still the only member, so if anybody wants to come. And it became that stand-up comedy club was not a club but a bit that I would do at the meeting because no one came. And the last time I did the announcement, one person came as a joke. And left. And I was like, honestly, well played. But that was high school for me.
You were doing stand up at the announcements.
Doing stand up at the announcements, like being just like being a general little freak, like experimenting with like, you know, all doing bad boy things like drugs, sex, sneaking out of the dog door of my parents' house and like trying to just be a little rat in LA.
Yeah.
Did you hook in high school?
I hooked monogamously, and I was extremely forward all the time my whole life. Like, I would always be like, I like you, yes or no, how do I proceed? Like, rejection, okay, moving on. Like, it was like, there was never like a, like, oh, I don't know, should I say? I was like, get me to the next fucking, just rip the Band-Aid off.
Get them to the church.
Comedy is so funny. But yeah, literally, so I was always like, I remember, that, you know, sixth grade dance, like, to my crush, do you want to dance with me? And he was like around other boys, so he had to say no, you know?
Yeah.
Like to like keep up the image, like, no, not going to associate with this freakish person. And I just kind of like was like, all right, no, then like turned around and like whatever, just kept going. That would be my deal until I found someone who turned out to be very unstable. But we bonded immediately and had like a really wild like young love relationship. We got married, he got me pregnant, like we got the marriage annulled. Like it was all this stuff before I turned 18 and moved out here.
Oh my god, I didn't know that.
Yeah, was there's a lot you don't know about me.
That's not true.
did your parents know about all that? How did you navigate that?
Well, my parents found out about the marriage thing after it had happened because we had it happen during junior prom.
Oh my god, was it like a Vegas situation? How did you get married?
It was like we, you know how prom will be not at school sometimes? If there's like, my school was in a leased building. They did not own the building. They were merely leasing it. Like some of the walls in the classrooms were like legitimately collapsible and like could be moved to make the classroom bigger. And they had the prom in like a hotel lobby situation adjacent to like a conference room where there was a DJ. And we decided that we should get married at the hotel because there would be a Bible we could get access to. And my friend had registered online as a Unitarian minister
in
high school. So we were knocking on doors and like trying to get people to open the door, and people to open the door and be like, can we use your Bible? Like psychotic in a tux and in a white, like weird silk dress that I was wearing. Cause I was like, this is my wedding. Like being crazy.
Oh my God.
16 years old, insane. And we got married, and the prom photographer saw what was happening, which was a full wedding, like took a bouquet from the centerpiece, like had my friend walk me down the aisle. My friend Jake Reiner, who was in the stand-up comedy class with me, like these are all like my solid crew of people. And we got married through the bouquet. Like it was so gorgeous. And then the next day, I think it was some kind of like parent event, whatever, the head minister, that is not a thing. Whatever, not principal, but like the director, something like that, of the school saw my parents in the hallway and were like, oh, congratulations on your can we censor this word, daughters in the wedding. Like it was just like them like, what? And like we had already been wearing rings for a while, which was weird. Like it was a whole thing. But we got it annulled.
Was it like a legal marriage?
Yeah.
And
we got it annulled. So
didn't your parents have to like have some respect for how funny that is?
Maybe in a few years they will.
Yeah.
No. I think they were always just like, whenever I did something, it was a big secret. Like when I said I was pregnant, and you don't know you know, my kid is not out there somewhere, y'all. It's, I got an abortion.
Yeah.
Thank fucking God. And I didn't tell my parents about that for years. And I went by myself. My friends drove me and like dropped me off at the Planned Parenthood in Van Nuys when I was like 16.
That's really.
And yeah, it was like all the times that I was, oh, this gorgeous siren. All the times when I was growing up where I had like significant friendship moments with girls really felt important to me, but also I always knew that I was not one of them. Mm-hmm. And whenever they would be nice to me, like literally help me skip school to get an abortion, I would always be like, wow, you're letting me into this, even though I'm like so different from you. And I never really understood that was because I was trans and like all these other things, but, and why I like felt so fundamentally different from people and whatever. But it was, yeah, it was like a, interesting way to grow up, just trying to like be very alone to suss things out for my own, and also kind of being forced there by other people a little bit and by society.
Totally.
Yeah.
But I'm not totally chokerfied now. I think I'm chilling.
And then when did you decide to move to New York?
I wanted to move to New York. I didn't want to go to college. I wanted to go immediately after high school, and my parents were like, so you want us to pay money for you to live somewhere else? That's really, really deranged. So I went to I applied to college, got in, and went to college in New York. And then
where did you go?
I went to the new school, and that's where I met Julio, and we became best friends.
Amazing. Oh my gosh!
Yeah.
So you guys are pre-comedy.
Yeah, we, well, hold on one second.
Well, you've been doing comedy since 13, so there's no such thing as that for you.
Yeah, it's in my blood. But no, Julio and I met like in the little like courtyard area of the school because there was no quad. It's like a on city campus, and Julio would write little plays that were really funny and had like a dark comedic edge, and casted me in one, and that's how we started working together and ended up living together, and we are BFF. Aww. I think of him as like part of my family.
I wish I went to school in New York. That's like a regret I have.
But you have New York origin.
I have Long Island origin, which is like not the same.
It's the same. It's the same to me.
It's not. It's not like.
Okay, I won't try to, you know, assert my reality. Me.
But yeah. You are.
Thank silencing, silence.
You're East Coast vibes.
I'm East Coast vibes. For sure, yeah. But I am.
And that's something. That's something I'll never be.
My eyes just like rolled in the back of my head. but Long Island is so like suburban. It feels so far away, and it feels so. I mean, we would go like literally. We would go to like one year went to like the Museum of Natural History for a field trip. So it's like sure, but
we did that in LA.
That's not okay.
I'm sorry. I would definitely go to the Museum of Natural History.
Wait, is that in LA? Is that there? I didn't know there was one in LA.
Yeah.
Do you remember the culture around like, and I don't know if this was true of like other schools, like seeing like breasts at the Museum of Natural History and like just like everyone kind of being like, we're going to go to the room where there's breasts now.
I think it's more about dicks for me.
For me, I'm in the gemstone room tripping my face off on nothing, on just visuals as a kid. Like, also the frozen animals, like, putting myself so hard there in the little environment dioramas. Being like, this animal doesn't even exist anymore. Just, like, staring and everyone turn around, no one's there. They're all in, like, a different room. That was, like, my experience.
It did depress me so much. Like, taxidermy depresses me so much. Mm-hmm. It's so bleak and dark.
Yeah, it's really hard.
Humans are, what was I saying? One time I was reading something, and it was like, humans are the only animal in the world that, like, kills other creatures for fun. You know what I mean? Like, no, in the wild animals would ever just kill something not to eat it or anything like that.
I think hippopotamuses do.
Wow. So, Spike, in the future, if
I'm
you
so
have something,
sorry.
I would love if you could just pull me to the side and
I'm
we could
so
work it
sorry.
Out.
I'm so
yeah.
Sorry.
Just
if it's an animal fact, it's really hard.
Wow, hippopotamuses are assholes.
So did you always
have
dogs growing up?
No, I'm allergic to dogs.
Oh, right.
Are you serious?
I forgot this fun fact.
So I'm allergic to dogs, and I begged for a dog for as long as I was alive. And my parents, my dad was really helpful in this process for doing allergy tests, which is we would meet someone outside. I would, like, beg him to talk to the person because of their dog. We would meet, And I'd be like, is this one of the hypoallergenic breeds of this list? And like, be that child. And he, my dad to test would be like, rub your face in the dog and we'll see if you react. So like literally asking strangers if I could like bury my head in the side of like their Bouvier or like their Maltese or whatever. And we met someone who had a Portuguese water dog and I didn't react to it. And so my dad started researching like dog breeders of that, which like, you know, I am all the way adopt, don't shop. And when I was 8, we got a puppy from a breeder. Like, I had no control over that. And it set me on the path of, like, caring for dogs. So it's fine. But yeah. Before that, my mom had a dachshund who she adopted way before I was even born. And I was born, and he assumed the role of, like, my father and tried to hurt my father. And they were worried that he, like, he guarded me. He would, like, drag me around the house and, like, try to bite my dad if my dad tried to touch me. God. Which to me is, like, he knew what was up with me from, like, even from being born. He was like, this is not a human being. I need to protect it at all costs. And, like, so they had to give him away. So I really do feel like my whole life has been, like, you know, I ousted this creature from his home and I'm, like, repaying that.
Totally. Totally. That's and you need beautiful. To continue doing that because what you did was fucked up.
My work is not done.
You know what? I always grew up with dogs, but even in the last like 5-6 years, every now and then a dog will give me hives and I have to just accept it. It's worth it.
I'm not allergic to any animals.
That's good.
Yeah, but I don't take advantage of it and that like I don't interact with them.
I'm deeply allergic to cats, which is a shame because I think I might, it'd be nice to have one maybe in another life.
I'm unreal allergic to cats, like in a way that has hospitalized me before.
Oh, damn.
Oh, my God. Like, when your dad had you rub your face against, your dad's like, let's have you rub your face against this cat and see if you go to the hospital.
Yeah. No, it was, for that, it was like I went to my friend's house growing up who had a cat and I wanted to play the Pocahontas CD-ROM game where you like are a hummingbird spearing berries that fall.
Yeah.
He's like in it, would never wanted to leave, wasn't allowed to have video games. So this was like my heaven drug. And she had a cat and my mom would say that when I would go to, when they would put me on the phone and be like, do you want to come on? I'd be like, no, I'm having fun. I couldn't breathe, like throat closing. And she would pick me up and my eyes would be like shut, swollen because of the cat. So it was always like just suffering.
Leaving sleepovers is such an iconic part of being a child. Calling, saying, can I use the phone? I have to go home. I would pee a lot of beds. Like,
we want to pick you up. And I know, can hear in your voice that you're suffering, but you refuse to stop playing the CD-ROM. So
CD-ROMs was always like, I felt like, I don't know if we just had a really slow computer. Like I would, on the box, CD-ROMs would look so fun. I remember getting the Tarzan CD-ROM.
Yeah.
And being like, actually, it was when I went to Disney World, I had brought money and I had enough to get one souvenir. And so my parents were like, just be, you know, when your parents are being overly, they're like, just be really careful with what you pick because you could only get one souvenir. And it's like, okay, like, don't worry, it's going to be fine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, every time you like, look at something, like, is that really the thing that you want? Because if you see something tomorrow, you're not going to be able to get it.
It's that really stresses me out. That really.
So it'd be like, no stuffed animals because they gather dust and you are allergic. And I would be like, okay, I also need just a real animal at any time when we chill. Like, this is filling a void, please.
So I got the Tarzan CD-ROM as my souvenir at Disney World, and it wasn't, I could already tell, like, my parents were like, for some reason that didn't pass the test. It was like, this is a stupid thing to have chosen. And I was like, I don't know what here you think is going to be like something that I treasure for life, but whatever. And it looked so fun in the box. Like, you played as Tarzan, you like swung on vines, and that seemed so freeing to me. And that seemed so, I was like, oh, if I could just like swing on vines on my computer, like that will be, I will finally kind of escape. And then you put it in the computer and it like, it doesn't move. Like for me, when I tried to play CD-ROMs, like, the guy never moved. It took, like, an hour to load every single thing. And I ended up having to give up the game.
Yeah. Well, waiting for The Sims to download, I completely shattered my parents' family computer.
That was an at a different kid's house game for me, too. Totally. It was like, we can't get Sims to happen, but my friend Katie has Sims, and, like, I will watch her type Rosebud for 30 minutes. Like,
yeah.
I was a big watcher and not player in terms of video games because I was just not, like, it didn't have them to practice at home, so I would always be coming in a kind of a deficit, so it was a lot of, like, over the shoulder, like, wow, it looks cool. Like, let me help you design the character. Awesome.
I was my friend
play with your dog.
I spent hours watching my friend Brendan play Ocarina of Time, Zelda, and I was like, I don't care about this. Like, you know the friend who, like, can't feel the room, and it's like, no one wants to watch you play one player right now.
I watched my friend play one player a lot, and I don't know. I feel like that was just okay for me. I was like, I need to be supportive of your wins in this.
Well, you were carrying around the guilt about displacing an animal.
Yeah, so and I was like, so... I should just be mutable in all situations. No, I was very much like, if I didn't want to be somewhere, like, dipped, made it known.
One time I went to the sleepover and, like, fifth grade. I remember it was fifth grade because I had a broken wrist. Whoa. And yeah.
They will still let you go.
I went through that when I was young. I broke my wrist and it definitely formed who I am today.
How did you break it?
I fell down a hill. Well, multiple things happened. Sorry. For one, a girl on my grade's younger brother pushed me down a hill at Elwood Park. Mm. And that's when my wrist first started kind of hurting. The next day, I went to my first and only football practice. Me and my brother had been signed up against our will, against my will, in accord with his will.
I'm sorry.
For a football team. Imagine me, fifth grade, plus size, playing football, doing my best.
Beautiful,
to just
plus
get
size
by.
Little boy.
And a person actually, the first practice, fell on me. And that's when we all knew that my wrist was really broken because it really hurt. So I don't know if it was like being pushed on the hill or the person falling on me or a little bit of both. But it ended up being such a happy accident. I probably have told this story before in the pub because then I would just go to the games to watch, which was heaven on earth. And one day, okay, this is crazy. I'm in Huntington, New York, watching my brother's team and my ex team play football. And I look over to my right. Someone else is a young girl is also watching. And I look at her and mm-hmm. I say to this girl, aren't you the girl from The Parent Trap? It's Lindsay Lohan. It's fully Lindsay Lohan.
Wow.
She goes, yeah.
Whoa.
And I go, oh, cool. We keep watching.
So you played that so cool.
Damn.
Yeah. I was awesome. You know when you like know you have a reveal coming up and it's like, let me just savor this. But yeah, so I don't know why she was there because she does not have older brothers. Her younger brother did go to my high school, but was in my younger brother's grade. Mm. But she didn't have older brothers, so I don't know why she was watching this football game. Lindsay,
love
if you're
game.
Listening. Lindsay, yeah, I mean, she follows the local, like,
youth football leagues. Yeah. It's actually really, really competitive.
She's, like, taking bets. She's like, hey, $1 a box.
The scene of her in The Parent Trap where she's swinging the money around and it's like in Bad to the Bone plays and she's like, no, that is seared in my memory. That was so fucking cool.
I remember the high-pitched scream from the ear piercing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, like, oh, whoa.
Wait,
they really did that to you.
Wait, but speaking of ear piercing, adjacent, are you still tattooing? Remember you were going to tattoo me 6 years ago?
My friend Catherine Cohen, so generous with your delineation of me as a tattooer.
You are!
I can take a needle, put it in ink, and then put it on your skin, but I am not a tattooer. Like, my most recent one is this.
But that's good.
That's good.
Thank you. I did it like
that's cursive.
Like that.
And you know what we say about cursive on this podcast?
Hard in a dead language.
Impossible to read. Impossible to read.
Danelian handwriting, basically Latin.
I want you to do something like that to me.
I mean, yeah, if you can draw it and it's simple. Oh, me and my friend did these like matching poodles on each other's heels.
Wait, that's
so
sweet.
Like this heel was in her lap and her heel was in my lap and we tattooed each other at the same time, like the same image, these poodles.
You know, my ex-crush was a tattoo artist and is a tattoo artist.
Whoa.
And he taught
even
me a
now,
lot about...
Even after now, being Pat's crush, he went on with tattooing.
Even after, yeah, he continued to do tattoo. And he taught me about tattoo. And he taught me that it's actually like... almost like a spa like experience.
Absolutely.
Like he was like, it's a calming experience. It's not just about like mm-hmm. what's on you afterwards. Yeah. It's about the experience of having it done. And it's like very peaceful. And like, yeah. It's very soothing. And then I was like, oh, I should get tattooed.
I really love it. Like, I love tattooing, like being tattooed by people and finding queer and trans tattooers to support and go to has been like one of my greatest joys in terms of like my journey as a trans person who has a body.
I'll actually shout out my ex crush. I don't think he knows he's my ex crush, but
this is going to be huge for him then.
He does really good tattoos. His name is James Capola, and his Instagram is It's Okay Forever.
That's a good handle.
Yeah.
That's basically what a tattoo is. It's Okay Forever.
Yeah. And that's why he did... That's why he chose that for his handle.
Yeah.
Wait, so you, I know you have a sibling, Hannah. Do you have any other siblings?
No. Hannah is my, yeah, she's my only sibling, and we are 3.8 years apart, and you know her because she was in your show.
Mm-hmm. But we never met in person, though.
Oh, I thought you did. Well, she's great, and I love her.
I love her. I love her so much, too.
I met her once at a show, and she was very funny and nice.
Yeah.
Are y'all close?
No, because we don't live in the same place.
That's
but,
hard.
We talk all the time.
I love.
That's pretty close.
Yeah.
Some for some people like
But I have I don't go home. Like I really we haven't been able to like chill for more than little bursts and or like when she's visiting, so it's hard. And New York summers are hard on the little girl, I must say.
Yeah. Wait, so you say you're in still LA though you live in New York and you don't go back to LA ever.
I barely go back, yes. I work a lot and I don't like planes.
Yeah.
But I need to go back. Like I haven't seen my mom since 2019 because of COVID and I only just saw my dad and sister in May because of an East Coast bat mitzvah that we all attended.
Oh,
oh my gosh.
But like yeah.
What was the theme?
Really, the theme was my cousin's name is Soleil, and it was like, here comes the sun. She's maturing.
Oh, that's like elegant.
That's really classy. I know. Yeah.
Did you have a bat mitzvah?
Cool. I did have a bat mitzvah. It was Halloween and goth and stand up.
Yes.
Theme. Oh my God. So that is.
So that yeah. It was a Real Housewives event.
Yeah. Yeah. It was literally like, I really was very deep into goth and 80s music when I was 13 mm-hmm. after like receiving a 80s compilation CD at my parents' front door that was on the Entertainment Weekly magazine, like two disc set, and it like changed my whole personality. To be like, I'm a boy wearing makeup in the dark, like that was me. And I really didn't want to wear a dress and like all these things, so they like compromised by letting me make the dress be like black and purple.
Yes.
And it was like just yeah, it was very like, you know, my dad used to do stand-up comedy and like he had other like road dude male comics come and like do little sets just kind of like roasting him and me a little bit, which was like not the best at being like 13 and already like embarrassed God. For existing. My mom invited everyone in my grade because of like the lack of friends to like
moms love
moms
to do that.
Are obsessed with that.
Went down the roster, called everybody, and that was intense to be made fun of by people who I didn't want to be around me ever. But it was like, you know,
parties are so stressful when it's yours.
When it's yours, and you're like, they're like, you're a woman, you're a woman, you're a woman, now you're a woman. And I was like, oh, fuck, okay. Like,
oh my God. I remember being 13, and it was like, I was turning 14. I had just started my high school, and I truly did not have friends my freshman year of high school, and I didn't speak to anyone because I wasn't sure. I got to a point where I realized, like, honestly, in eighth grade, I told someone it was easier for me to talk to girls than boys, and they told me that. If that was true, that would mean I was gay. Aww. And so I was like,
never
it's not true.
Again.
Yeah. And I was like, let me just like put a freeze on everything till I figure out how to proceed.
Oh, no. Personality, thoughts, feelings, all of it.
And
freeze
so,
the account.
I'm so sorry.
My mom wanted me to have a birthday thing. And I invited, like, all of my mom's friends that had daughters in my grade. So it was like, and I obviously got along with them. But it was like. But so it was like built-in girlfriends. And I was like, that's like selling ice to an Eskimo. Like, I don't need more. That's the last thing I need. So I invited like a bunch of the girls I knew, but then also like some of the boys. I like was like, maybe these people would identify as friends with me. Like, they're on the cross-country team. I silently run near them every day.
Oh,
like,
this is like breaking my heart.
And then my family came. You know when like your uncles and aunts come over too, and they're like upstairs.
Yeah. And they're upstairs. Yeah.
Yeah. And people came over one by one, and it was just girl, 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 girl. And I was like getting so because in my mind it was like my uncles were being like, "Wow, he's gay."
Like
do
a
you see
thermometer rising.
And I was like, not a single boy came, and only girls. And there was 13 girls, and I felt like I had to.
So
I
kept of witches at this point.
I had American Horror Story season.
Everyone's
disappears. Like,
everyone's menstrual cycle was syncing up. It was crazy.
And so
I went upstairs and I felt like I had to do this like performance, and I was like, this is so annoying. I'm not friends with anyone here. Like, I don't know why these people are here. I basically never have even met them. And my uncles were like, okay, that's pretty weird, but whatever. And it's just like the worst.
Why
it's the
are
worst.
You telling us this?
Yeah.
Like,
they're like, get
okay.
out of here.
You're not friends with who? Okay. Yeah. Like turning back to the conversation.
Yeah. But whatever.
Yeah, wait, definitely, and so, definitely whatever on the, like, I'm not gay right now, just checking.
Yeah, definitely. Wait, and how did you and your boyfriend come to be?
I'm a gorgeous term, I will say, a consciously serial monogamist, and I left a bad relationship because I wanted to flirt and kiss with my current partner.
Yes.
Oh, fun.
So that. I don't like to have loose ends. Mm-hmm. So I was I just hit on this guy while I have a boyfriend. Like I saw my current partner at a show that I was doing, and I did the thing where I was like, let me see like if I could pick you up.
Yeah.
Like, let me see how big your hands are compared to mine, which is my flirting style. It's really tragic. And
oh my God.
That's how my first boyfriend flirted with me. So I was like, this is what you do down there. And after that, I was like, I can't do anything else with this person unless I'm single. Mm. Because my feelings are too much to be in a relationship and think about this person.
So yeah.
I went home and broke up with my current partner at the time, who was also bad to me for so many reasons, and like took it out on my dog at a point where it was like in my mind, I was like, that also pushed me. But yeah, we like after the breakup, we made out like within a 24-hour period later.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. That's
it's one time, been on ever since.
How long ago was that?
5 years.
Oh my God.
That's a lot of years.
I really love him. He's my best friend who is sexy and hot. So yes. It's like, okay.
Oh my God. Perfect. That's the best. Do you want to get married?
I did that once.
Right. So I've heard.
I'm a little worried about the institution of marriage, but
yeah.
I do get like the scary, like the hospital question. Like, are you allowed? And I want him to be allowed. So I think.
Oh, yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I think about the hospital question. Famously, I'm like, marriage is just when you get to see each other in the hospital.
I'm like, you get to have a party, and I don't ever think about death or the hospital. I'll never go there.
Yeah, yeah. I would. The thing is, we have a party every year because our birthdays are one day apart.
Oh, that's so fun.
So every year, it's like, we're married, kind of. Like, our birthdays are the same, so we're married.
That's perfect. My boyfriend's birthday is 6 weeks before mine, and he's Virgo, yeah.
Me too, and so is Eric.
Oh
wow, so you're two Virgos. I'm Scorpio. I love Virgos. Mm. But I'm always like, I bet when we're like 50, we'll have a joint in the beginning of October in Libra season.
Oh my God, chaotic! I know nothing.
I have been such a little bitch to my boyfriend all week, and I don't even know why.
You're a Leo, and he's what?
Aries.
What does that mean?
It's a good match.
Catherine's like, rawr, and he's like, I'm headbutting you.
Yes, we're being wild. Like, I think it's like the humidity.
That's my conception of astrology.
I think I'm like bored, so I'll just like be a bitch and see what happens.
Yeah.
Because this week has been like humid and like nasty. But
I love collaboration, so I don't like to do that. I love being like, we're a team, 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 team. But then like problems will arise, and I'm like, oh no, function, we have to function. It's like this, you need to chill.
Wait, and so who are you now?
Now I'm like this guy who has a lot of people that put trust in me in a way that feels like I must be doing something right to receive that.
Yes. Yeah.
Feel like I have a lot of love in my life, and like most of my very good friendships are like have enough time behind them to where they feel like they will be in my life for years to come, and that I've been able to monetize my passion is something that I struggle with, because I'm like, oh no, exploiting this like a joy resource in my body for financial gain. But I feel like I'm going to set it up to where I can divest from that and get a different kind of like something coming in, hopefully from performance related stuff.
Yeah.
So you know, I have to say, I have to take this time to say, Spike, this is I remember I started doing comedy, I would see you from afar, and I was like, that person is so cool and so funny. And unlike, dare I say, some other people in the scene, you were always so nice and like made an effort to always make me feel included. And I'm like gonna cry because I can't, like, people don't understand what a big deal it is just to
be
kind.
Can you tell my parents this? I'm serious. Because they still are like, and did you write a thank you note? To, like,
no, like, it's rare. Like, in this scene, it's, like, it's honestly rare for people to go out of their way to be nice, especially if, like, you didn't know anything about me, or, like, if you're not, like, buzzy or whatever, people are just like, fuck off. And you're just so kind. So I had to say it on the pod because it's like, it's so refreshing, honestly.
I feel like my throat is getting tight. Thank you.
That's what I wanted. I wanted you to choke on your tongue.
What we're saying is real, recognize real at the end of the day.
Well, it's hard. It's literally hard out here.
But yeah, I like to be respectful. I don't know.
Yeah.
But wait, so that's interesting. So you're hoping that, like, so you feel almost guilt around, like,
charging people for a dog walk,
making money off of your passion for.
I don't feel guilt off of making. I hate money. I hate capitalism. But what I don't want to do is play into capitalism in the way where it's like my greatest joy in life is now tied to my survival in a financial inextricable way.
Totally.
So I have, you know, the other pot in the fire of like I perform and do comedy and write. So it's like eventually I hope this pendulum will swing the other way to where like I can dog walk for pleasure. Instead of to sustain. But it sustains me beyond what any other job that I've had in the past, of which there have been many, would. So it's like, it is sustainable through that.
Totally. It's interesting because I think it's like the opposite of a lot of people who are like, I'm going to do performing for free I'll nanny to support that. But it seems like you're like, I'm hopefully like performing will make money so that I can just like do dog walking for like, you know, and not worry about the money of it all.
Yeah, I want to be involved with helping people and their dogs in some way until I can no longer use my body in this world. But I don't I just get scared depending on it in that way. But I also just this year stopped doing free comedy stuff. Like I just started saying like, you must pay me.
Totally. Year. It gets to a point where if you're not like,
even if it's like $20, like that will help me.
Yeah, totally. It means so much when someone's like, yeah, here's literally, I'm Venmoing you $15. I'm like, thank you. That pays for like, I can take a car or get dinner after this or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Like I don't have the cooking time because of traveling and performing and I can just like eat whatever. It's helpful. And then I always try to pay people. And that's the other thing about being in the co-op. Like I really try to make it like, I hurt my hand and someone came and helped me and it was like, you're getting paid, like whatever. Like you're not on, you know, it's just like you got to compensate people for their labor.
How many people are in the co-op?
We have like five core people who are like Monday through Friday. And we have a lot of substitute people who we give as needed work. And like just basically a list of dog walkers we know in different areas, because a lot of people request for places we aren't. So we can just like refer out.
That's so cool. And you started that?
I mean, I made an Instagram page when I quit. That was the Rainbow Pack. And then after I quit, I talked to the employees who experienced similar treatment by my ex-boss, and we all dipped and took like the dogs that we walked after like having a meeting with them. We basically unionized, brought demands. The demands were not met and we split off of them and now exist as a separate entity. Like that's me and everybody else from the company.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And like, I'm trying to just bring people work in a way that is like, you know, I'm not a talent agent for people. I'm not taking commission, but if I get a request and I can't accommodate, it makes me feel good that someone else can do that. I don't need to own that. I don't need to hire someone to get that so that I can get a portion of that. That totally. Makes me feel nauseous. I want to be responsible for my own thing and then kicking people down things so that they can do their thing too. Like it just seems like a fucking no-brainer, but yeah.
That's
yeah.
amazing.
Thanks, guys. I'm glad you approve of my life.
And what's your dream?
I never said that.
Okay.
What's your name? What's your dream?
Oh, my dream? For there to be a cure for dog allergy. No. my dream is to see like the dissolution of the things that keep people oppressed and horrible people in power. Like I dream of the day when it's all we're rising from the rubble and ash to create our own means of existence and sustaining and thriving. But other than that, I don't know. It would be cool to get like free dog bags for a year or maybe an energy drink sponsorship.
Oh my gosh. Do you know Tim Platt used to do that? Those videos. Do you remember?
Oh
they
my
were
God.
So funny.
When Tim Platt drops in, what video?
He would do this. He did this like full campaign based on a real campaign for like.
It started with a V, but I can't remember what it was.
I'm not going to remember what it was, but it was like energy drinks that like it was. What is it called? Like direct marketing or whatever, where it's like a pyramid
multi-level
scheme.
Multi-level marketing, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, multi-level
there's
marketing.
There's a big Avon box in the lobby of my building, and I saw it and it just had like a big shudder go through my body. It was like,
oh my God.
Someone is wasting things.
Oh. Did you watch Murder on Middle Beach?
No.
Oh, it's about multi-level marketing. But,
and so much more.
But But Tim would, like, base do this character of this kind of bro-y guy trying to get kids. And, like, the language they use, they're all like, your parents are going to think this is stupid. They're going to think there's no way you're going to change your life by selling energy drinks. Now, I'm paying my mom's rent. I'm buying my dad gifts.
Yeah.
And it's, like, so, it's just, like, LOL.
Yeah. It's not how that works. That shit does terrify me.
Yeah.
The marketing stuff.
It's crazy how there are people that really buy into it.
Yeah, I remember, everyone, like, I went to say with me high school and summer camp with is selling leggings, doTERRA, lipstick.
Yeah, oh, and oils, essential oils.
The oils is really, really freaky to me.
They're like, do you know that your daughter's autism could be mediated by lavender oil under her nose? You're like, oh, fuck, please get away from me. I'm such a bad self-carer. Like, I'm still trying to do hydrate, moisturize, sunblock. Like, ooh, I can only
I really
do two.
Need to do better about sunblock.
I'm doing, I have to drink a full glass of water in the morning because I never drink water ever, no matter what.
I'm an and absolute slut for water. I drink 3 liters a day.
I need a bottle like that because then I can fill it.
Sometimes more. My dad gets worried. He says I drink too much water. He sends me articles.
Do you cry a lot or no?
Sob constantly.
That's because you drink so much water. No,
I sob, squirt, piss. I do it all, baby.
See, I feel like I'm constantly dehydrated, but I can squirt and I cry all the time. So oh I'm God. Like, what is the deal with the relationship? Maybe I'm just squirting battery acid and my tears are like fucking molten lava.
I was going to say that. I was going to say it's probably battery acid.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so sorry, babe.
That would be like the funniest.
He's screaming in the background.
I just got intel on my squirt palette kind of flavor, so we're going to talk about it later.
That would be a funny X-Men power. It's like they squirt acid
and not like, from where you think.
Do y'all have crushes of the week?
Oh god,
let me think.
That's a brilliant question. Oh, my crush of the week is kind of Amanda Knox because I liked how she like delivered her thing.
What is she doing now?
It wasn't clear from the doc, but then the doc made it seem like she, and this is a reference maybe only for me, the doc made it seem like she was Sydney Campbell in Scream 3, where she like lived on a farm by herself and she was like, I'm sick of the press over this thing and I just want to be alone. I don't know if anyone's seen Scream 3, but it opens on like Sydney living on a ranch, Neve Campbell living on a ranch, and she's so sick and tired of all the reporters who want to ask her about the murder. She's just like, I'm done with it. I don't want attention for this. So the doc makes it seem like she's that, and she like isn't interested in any interviews or anything like that. And then I went and looked up on Instagram and she's like blue check and she's always like, hey, Amanda Knox here. And I'm like, oh gosh, you're like, you,
just
that was a lot,
you're
not Sydney.
Just want to tell you about Purple Carrot.
Yes. Yeah. Literally.
When I was in Italy, boy, I wish I had something like Purple Carrot to take the stress out of meal planning.
My other crush take is Amanda Knox's dad, because there was this, not even in a physical way, so everyone calm down, because there was this like, thing where after she got back from Italy, like they were being mobbed by reporters all the time, and the reporters were saying something to the dad. Oh, they're like, when are you gonna have an interview? When are you gonna have an interview? Like, are you gonna write a book? Like, all this stuff. And he was like, right now, just her well-being is our concern. And he was like, just getting his paper and he was going to go back in. And then they were like, well, and then this one reporter was like, well, you know, there's a limited time, like, you know, things are gonna go down, down, down. And he's like, what are you talking about? And he's like, and the reporter was like, well, she's not gonna be like, you know, if you do an interview in a couple months, she's not gonna be as hot a commodity. Anyway, she's not going to be as hot of a property. And he looks at the person like they're crazy and is like, yeah, I guess I'm not viewing her as a hot property. And like turned around and walked away. And I was like, yes.
Love that.
I love a man who doesn't feel the need to make money out of his daughter's false
Absolutely.
Murder charges
yeah.
in Italy.
Insane.
And he says, fuck you to the lamestream media.
Totally. Yes, exactly. The lamestream.
My crush of the week is me, because this morning I woke up. This is very unlike me, but I woke up. I saw that In the Heights is now playing in theaters. Ooh. And I got my wallet and I went and bought a ticket to see it on Saturday. And I'm so excited. I haven't been to the movies in, you know, a year and a half. And I love In the Heights. It's one of my favorite musicals. The trailer gave me full body chills. I'm just excited. I'm just being earnest.
Should I see that?
Yeah, it's just going to be like so, it's cheesy. It's fun. It's a musical. What's not to, like, sometimes there are times when all you need Is a musical to give you full body chills?
No, you're gonna say love. Like, no. Ready for you to start singing it in a musical vibe.
Yeah. The way Spike did their impression of like how
theater kids how exist. Musical,
yeah.
Because
yeah.
I never wanted to do this.
It doesn't exist in me.
I just find it's very rare for me to get excited about this genuine joy about something that like has nothing to do with like work or other people. Just like the idea of buying a movie ticket and being like, I'm going to have fun, to feel pleasure, yes. to forget about my life for a little bit. So I'm just excited. That's my crush.
Yeah, that's going to be me with a Quiet Place too.
Yeah.
That's going to be me with Zola.
Yeah, I'm excited to see Zola.
Yeah, that looks
good. Pat, you've been talking a lot about Quiet Place too, but when are you going to actually go?
I don't know. And this is what's so crazy. And this is exactly what The Artist's Way is talking about. Mm. In that it always feels like I don't have time to go and just spend some time. I just go on an artist date, spend some time with a little boy I like to call Patrick, mm-hmm. and drink a humongous Diet Coke and watch A Quiet Place 2. I literally watched A Quiet Place 1 in prep, but the problem is it's not exactly up my alley, A Quiet Place. Like, I don't care about aliens very much, so like, I wish it was about a killer. Aliens?
Yeah, I wish it was a killer too.
I wish it was a killer who killed you. That's what I like.
Did you know what I watched?
Killer who killed
did
you.
Y'all? I watched the.
I love that.
I watched the new Conjuring. Did you guys watch it?
I want to watch that.
Yeah.
I haven't yet.
I like that.
I love those
people
movies.
Like getting possessed crazily.
I hate possessed.
If you like that, you will love it.
I'm normal and fine. Like immediate. Yeah. That shit is.
There's this one monster.
I don't believe
that's
in possessed.
Really,
okay, Pat. Okay. Have a good dream tonight.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't worry about a dog being there or anything.
The ending was bad, but the movie was fun, is what I'll say. Cool. Okay, Spike, crush of the week vibes?
My crush of the week? My crush of the week is the two people that I call the two pillars, columns of my existence that support the roof that protects me, my best friend Sandra, whose name is tattooed on me, and Julio is the column of the mind, and Sandra is the column of the heart, and together, without them in this life, I would be very lost. So that's my crush of the week.
That's so beautiful.
That's incredible.
I've been referring to them as this in my head for a long time. So it was, I was like, this should be the crush of the week.
Totally.
The mind and the heart. I wonder who mine are.
Yeah.
It's so hard.
Yeah, think about that for yourself and your friends.
Yeah, well, honestly, it's hard.
And it can be multiple.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's a big Venn diagram situation. And Julio is not exclusively mine, but I go to them for these reasons.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. It's rare. Trusting people is hard.
It's hard. I do it all the time and I get really hurt, but I just keep doing it.
That's you got to do it.
Yeah, I really struggle with it. And my therapist last week was like, I was complaining about feeling like, you know, I've been very isolated lately and I've been very much like feeling distrusting of my friends or something, and or feeling like I don't have any friends and not being able to tell if that's like a me thing or a them. I'm like, did I choose to not have friends or do
right
other
now
people?
Is very weird because everyone's doing a lot of shit and it's feeling like things are shifting and I'm like, wait, what? Like kind of, okay,
yeah,
what? Like left out way.
My therapist told me to like text one of them that I'm feeling like not trusting of, and like try to be vulnerable or something, or like try to hang out with them and like be vulnerable about how I'm feeling or whatever. Oh. And I tried with middling success, you know what I mean?
It's hard.
It's yeah. really hard when you, especially when you feel like you have some kind of wall up when you're going to the hang, and you like, oh, it's just, it's hard. Yeah, it's rare to find someone where you're just like completely can show up like however you are, and not leaving. Like,
even
did
if
I say
there's
the wrong
conflict,
thing?
Yeah.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
All my best relationships, we can immediately discuss conflict, like, in a rational way to get past it.
Yeah.
So I have other relationships where it doesn't plan out like that, but that's not where I'm, like, feeling the most, you know, safe or whatever.
In your power, as Pat would say.
Yeah, yeah.
In my power. Do you feel hot today?
Me?
Yeah.
The world has been reacting to me since going maskless in a way that would suggest that yes, I am hot. And
really?
Yeah, but it's really a lot. Like I work outside and it's hot, so I don't wear a ton of clothing.
Yeah.
And then people are sort of like, wow, all of that walking towards me, I gotta say something.
Yeah.
And they do, and I'm just kind of like, okay, this must mean that I'm hot, but also it's not validating and it sucks.
Totally.
I feel hot today, yes.
Oh, yes.
I do. I feel hot today because I got to do my show last night, and that is my lifeblood.
Hell yeah.
There are people are just really the ones, even though things are bizarre socially right now, I do feel like the people coming to shows are so happy to be there, and they're saying hello, and I'm like getting to hang afterwards, and it just feels really good. So I feel hot.
I don't feel hot because I have such terrible writer's block. I can't write anything. I have to write up. I'm taking this like writing class, and so I'm supposed to have like a long form piece tonight. I can't do it. I haven't written my newsletter in 3 weeks because I just have nothing to say. And now it feels like since I took 3 weeks off, I have to have something good when I come back. And like, I just keep trying, and I'm just like, this isn't interesting. And whenever I don't have writer's block, I'm like, I don't get writer's block. I mean, it's not real. After all, just sit down and write. And then when I have it, I'm like, I never will write another word for the rest of my life.
Have never written, can never write, could.
Yes. Writer. And don't even want to. Yeah. But so yeah, I'm not feeling like completely in my power today, but that's okay. Well, Spike, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for doing the pod.
It was so fun.
We adore. And our final segment, are you, and be honest, are you mad at me?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not mad at you. I forgot about this segment. I'm mad at myself because I feel like maybe with more time I could find something. No, I'm not mad at you, and I'm not mad at you, Pat.
Thank you.
Pat, are you Catherine? Mad at me?
I'm not mad at you. No, I'm not mad at you at all. Are you mad at me?
No, it was so fun getting to see you in person yesterday.
Yeah, that was fun.
And I want to say something inspired by Spike's comments. I want to say, feel free to lean on me. Use me as the pillar.
Totally.
I don't know. I think I'm probably more. I don't know if I'm mind or heart. What if I was?
But it's also like, the pillar of the whole. That's another one.
Oh, that's beautiful.
What if I was like, I already have a pillar, and Sandra was like tattooed on my. On
that
me.
Wouldn't be like I would. Have you ever seen Amelie when she makes the blind man really happy and like the gold swirls around? Like that's what would happen to me if you okay. showed me that. I would like no. out of body. Like, oh.
This is crazy. This is gonna be really crazy. Amelie was actually Amanda Knox's alibi. She was watching that movie with her
Stop
boyfriend
it.
During the murder. Yes, yes, yes,
Stop
yes,
it. Pull the
yes,
plug.
Yes, 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 yes.
And oh that's God. Our episode.
And Spike, I'm not mad at you. Couldn't be in a million years.
Thanks.
You're
and
so kind.
Same. No, never. I mean, I already gushed you. To you about my love for you.
Okay, you know, both things can exist. And that's
yeah,
what I'm
that's, totally. Wow, that's true.
That's what this month is about.
And that's our show.
Show.
Thank you so much for having
thank
me.
Thank you
so much,
much
for coming
that was
on,
so fun.
It was so fun.